You ever give a presentation and then afterwards you're just like, fuck, I fucked up that presentation. And like your boss was like, oh yeah, good job. But like their heart wasn't in it. And you're like, I need to be enthusiastic about this project.
Yeah, I used to be a teacher, so regularly.
Right, only you had like 24 bosses at once.
Yeah, no, those weren't my bosses. The admin were. 24, that's low. Man, schools are crowded these days. 31, more like.
I'm sure that 15 years from now, we'll all be glad we saved money by disinvesting in public education.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yo era un maestro de español. Por supuesto, tenía que corregir la pronunciación de mis estudiantes.
Is that the accent you delivered your lessons in?
No, that's a thing on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
I'll find it. It's like, oh shit, not that. Hold on, I can find it. I can play it in the microphone here. Maestra de Español.
Hola, soy una maestra de Español. Por supuesto, tengo que corregir la pronunciación.
She really puts everything into that. Corregir.
Why don't you introduce us the way that you would introduce a Spanish class?
No. We discuss crashing cars, buses, and planes into Italian cities, the Death Slide, and Rainbow Road in BeamNG.Drive. Vroom vroom, baby!
Buzz, storm of buzz, and we're going to tell you about how we saved the world.
Welcome one and welcome all to this, our beautiful Easter episode of Storm Buds. I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I am joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say hello.
Hello. Make sure you keep your chimneys free for the rabbit.
Yep. Make sure that rabbit does not get caught all up in your chimneys. If there are hawk nests in there, you may want to clear them out with your traditional Easter brooms.
It's the only way for him to get out.
It's the only way for him to get out. That's right.
He gets
right
in through the floorboards, but out through the chimney.
Yes.
That's what my parents told me.
Yes, that's correct. Your parents went to school, and that is a fact of life. So this is a video game podcast called Storm Buds, and all our segment names are Final Fantasy XIV jokes. If you are wondering why, it's because we started out doing a recap of all of Final Fantasy XIV. You can check that out at the beginning if you're new here. We have 45 episodes of Final Fantasy XIV goodness waiting for you to discover. But if you stuck around, if you were a dedicated bud, we love you. And we are here to reward you with an exciting outline of BeamNG.Drive.
A game I had never heard of until you were like, we should do it a month on this.
It has been quite the month. BeamNG.Drive is a
driving simulator?
It is a physics simulator wherein all the objects are pretty much, there's more than driving. It's like an object physics simulator.
That's true. Vehicle.
And there's a lot of really, really good collision involved. But yes, it's vehicle based. I like to call it a vehicle-based physics simulator.
Of course, a VBPS, of course.
So it is a, well, let's see. Yes, the wiki describes it as a vehicle simulation game developed and published by Bremen-based video game developer BeamNG GmbH. It features soft body physics to simulate realistic handling and damage to vehicles.
Oh, it sure does.
It sure does a pretty damn good job of it. This was kind of a heck of a month. We did a couple of StreamNG.Drives on my channel, twitch.tv/JeromeHouse. The joy in this game is that it is so hyper-focused on one thing and one thing alone, and that being the feeling of driving and also the spectacle of crashing. The way in which this game blossoms is not like Forza Horizon at all. It's not like you're given this lush, really well-crafted area of expanse to explore.
There's no BMG festival going on while like all the locals stand by as you like, yes, destroy all of the architecture in Mexico.
And there's a lot. It's one of those games, I liken it to a piece of software like Photoshop or Blender or Unity or something, that it is, for the most part, a tool. You can customize and create your own vehicles, and the amount of parts with which you can adjust and implant and fine tune is staggering. The level of depth that the menus go into is staggering. The level of depth that the there's level creators. It's also kind of like a Garry's Mod sort of situation where wherein you are able to create just about anything you want with a certain set of assets and kind of make your own in that way. And it's equally intimidating as something like that. So it's hard. It's a hard sell of a game, but it's been around in early access for the past decade.
Well, and it feels almost like a throwback in that way.
Yeah.
I feel like this sort of game with this level of like modularity and this focus on like user generated content and everything, I feel like over the last 10 years, all that's gotten swallowed up by Roblox. Like Roblox kind of became like the place where a lot of the effort, especially for up and coming young people who were exploring, making mods and doing custom work, kind of concentrated a lot of their energy. And it leaves this game. This game does almost feel a little retro in that way. Like it casts me back to the early 2010s when it felt like there was a lot more of stuff like this going around.
Yeah, there are such dedicated communities to BeamNG.drive. There are Patreon accounts for singular maps that are expansive enough. We played one on our stream.
We spent some time on one of those. Yeah,
it was a desert. It was called Desert Environs. There were like three separate amusement parks on it, a beautiful city, so there is a lot of support and community, and there's a place for anything you want to make. We spent some time on a recreation of Rainbow Road from both Mario Kart 64 and Super Nintendo. There's recreations of lots of real world cars. We've downloaded mods of our old cars or current cars. Yours of which had also a sexy anime skin.
It did have that.
It's like it's cool to see what your car would look like if it had boobs all over it.
I will say also, important note, as we discovered, if you can't find the mods that you want in the official mod finder, you can also find all of the illegal third-party mods that modify core game files in ways that are not approved by the developer.
No, but the game still functions relatively well. Talking about the game's function, though, I will say this is a hog. This game is massive to download. It's suspiciously massive, and it takes up a lot of disk space while running. So having other things open, it's not the kind of game that most people's machines will be able to handle while watching Netflix, for instance.
It's a computer game. This is not run on your Xbox. This is a computer game. It's a piece of software.
This is a terrible Steam Deck candidate.
You launch an executable.
Absolutely. You launch an executable, and then that executable has four separate launchers for you to choose from depending on what you want to do with the game.
Which graphics engine, I think, like you can choose like Vulkan or non-Vulkan.
Yes, and immediately as soon as I clicked on that, I was like, "Uh-oh. What have I gotten us into?" I was like, "What have we gotten to?" This was all me. This was, if you listen to our draft episode, our bracket episode, not draft. This one was all me, but I knew it, that there was something special here, and it's something I'm going to keep revisiting, and I'm glad we have in the kind of the back pocket, especially for like live content.
I would do more StreamNG.drive.
Yes, we had a two-person StreamNG.drive that was a lot of fun. I think what's really impressive too is how much there's still so much to discover. We spent a month in this game. It's not like your typical 15, how much was this, 15, 25 bucks game?
Not very much.
There's still a lot of fun to discover, but it is not, it's certainly not a narrative game. It's not a puzzle game. It's not.
I don't know what you're talking about. This has got a campaign mode right there on the front.
Did you
menu.
Run it?
I did. We're going to talk about it.
Talk about it right now.
The campaign launches you into, you know, I'm not even joking about this. It's not even, it's just a series of puzzle levels. There also are these almost like motion comics they have as interstitials. Like you load it up and it's like, I guess the point is that you're just a person who likes doing stupid shit with cars, and you start making friends with other people who like doing stupid shit with cars, and then doing stuff like trying to knock a pickup truck off a cliff with your car.
Yeah. It has certain installs and it has certain maps and packs and cars installed in, so you're not completely modding, but those are, they are, you, as soon as you kind of understand how to make car go, They are not particularly exciting anymore, but except for one, the default grid 2 map, where it's like, it's just sort of an, you have like your car and then you're just sort of in this liminal geometric space
void
with like spinners and half pipes and all sorts of cool stuff, and then the gears start to slowly turn about like, oh, what am I gonna do with this? And then as you sort of peel back the layers of this game, you discover things like, or at least I discovered things like slowing down time,
changing gravity,
changing the adding traffic, changing the behavior of the traffic.
There was that moment on the desert map where we were trying to like go off of a like a bump, and I was like, hey, as you're accelerating up the bump, take the gravity down to moon gravity and see if like as we crest the bump the decreased gravity will launch us in the air. And it sure did.
It sure did. There's more than cars though. There's buses. There's really good, like there's planes.
We tried to take that bus on Rainbow Road. It did not go so well.
But you know what? To this game's credit, though, it gets the feeling of driving these disparate vehicles so good because of this engine that is really robust. And it does feel, I mean, almost akin to playing different characters in an action game, but carbode.
I was surprised by that airplane. Like, it's not Microsoft Flight Simulator, but it's more of that than you would expect. It doesn't just control like a car in the air.
And there's even mods out there for like a paper airplane where all you can do is sort of like scrunch the inside and fold it, and then it like goes up and down. You can kind of tilt it. And if you tilt the plane, it's going to, instead of just like bank a little bit left, it's going to kind of curve down and then up as a plane goes, because the physics is so good. And there's this whooshing noise that goes by as that they added. So there's just a lot of little details in all of these mods where people are able to hyper focus on this one specific thing. And then the entirety of the repository is something that's greater than the sum of its parts.
We flew that paper airplane right down the mouth of that giant shark and into the weird pool of guts in the earth.
And we flew that. We also flew a bus, or no, we flew a dune buggy into the giant sandworm as well.
Yes, we did.
And then we went, ha!
Shai Halud!
He sounded like a heap. And so we did. So we had a lot of fun with this. There's just so much to discover.
It's so fun to just pull up like a mod list and just go browsing and be like, that looks fun, that looks stupid, download, yes. Load them all up, and then,
and this is
what
like
is going on here?
Still where I feel like we're still kind of in the first level of BeamNG.drive, where like having like fun with things that exist. Neither of us have really delved into even beginning trying to create our own map or vehicle. And the reason for me partly was because I was busy playing other games. But also that's still intimidating. I took
a look at the interface.
Yeah, the interface is scary, but I took one pinky toe into it. I downloaded some monster truck tires and I put them on to a Regalia that I was using.
I didn't.
And I was like, okay, how do I do this? So you can download disparate parts and then find where that part is in the several layers deep. It's like putting rear tires on, right? You have to go into like basically the menu for whatever the undercarriage is, and then where the axles are, and then there's like the front and the back axle, and then there's the, or whatever, and then even that has like three layers of sub menus, and then eventually you can get to where the tires are, or like the outer part of the tire is, and you can replace that with the monster truck.
Man, I gotta poke around. Like, I didn't even look at the vehicle creator. Like, I'm so curious how that works such that it maintains like a consistent sort of framework while also supporting all the really diverse physics that you can, yeah, like, that you can make 8-foot tall tires.
I think a lot of the experimentation is going, I mean, when I put those tires on a lot of different cars, sometimes those cars just couldn't go because the tires were too close together. Like, it's just not going to work half the time, probably even more than half the time. But it is worth, I think, if anyone is going to get past the first level of just downloading and enjoying mods and starting to make their own thing, just coming up with your own mission to own really specific mission to get a specific part in place. And it really like puts all of those BeamNG.drive TikToks that I was talking about on previous episodes, where like people will set up these massive ramps with these obstacles, and put really, really cool replications of these high-end sports cars, or these just like regular sports car, regular end sports
cars. Or Teslas.
They're the Camaros of the world. And set them up against these obstacle courses. It really puts those kind of into perspective, for like, okay, yeah, like once you do all of the work, it is a content farm. But like, it's not easy. It's not anyone can do that.
No, there's a lot of labor involved.
There's a lot of labor involved in that, and learning how to even just like reset your position in a way that is interesting. And
yeah,
like,
we had to figure that out.
You have to like figure out, like, I couldn't, like, there, I don't know, there's so many hotkeys, right? And we like to get my car upright, I just like learned that you could just like control click on any of the like, I'm saying like 6,000 times.
Like, yeah, the nodes, basically.
The some of the 40 some odd nodes on a given car, and just drag them and sort of fling them, ragdoll physics.
I do want to provide some context here, because I thought this was very funny. On that big desert map, the one that's produced from that single Patreon, we had the idea to, as we were driving around it, to spawn in a bunch of traffic,
yes,
and then to set the traffic to chase me mode,
yeah,
which basically turned the entire map into maximum overdrive, with all of the cars attempting to hunt us down and crash into us.
It was unexpectedly scary.
Yeah, no, frequently.
Sometimes a car would turn a corner at a time I really needed it not to turn a corner right in front of me, and it would give me quite the jump scare.
Just T-bone right into us.
Yes, it was.
It felt like being
funny.
Hunted.
It was.
Especially when like three of them at once would start to converge and like drive after you all at once.
As soon as we turned the AI on, I turned the camera to the left and noticed that a car off in the distance was starting to K-turn to come towards me, and I thought, uh-oh. This isn't good.
We caught their attention.
That's scary. There's nothing else out here but me, so
these cars can smell there's a human in this one.
There's blood in the water, and these cars are the sharks out for it. Yep, that's how that metaphor goes. So I think
that metaphor tracked, actually. That was
nice.
Accurate.
So your mileage is probably going to vary if you end up playing this game. I don't know how much fun I would have playing this solo without some sort of project behind it.
No, I had a lot more fun when we were streaming, definitely.
Yeah, this is kind of a streamer's delight. So if there are streamers out there that you would be interested to see play this, you should probably recommend this game to them. And I will certainly be revisiting this on my stream.
Well, and I was going to say also, I think next time if we stream this again, we should try to figure out the multiplayer mod, not just so that you and I could be in the same world at the same time.
I'm so scared. Yeah, I'm so scared, because like, there's no way that's going to work nice.
I don't know. I think it also has a Patreon. If people are paying money for it, I think
maybe
it might be good.
Maybe. People pay money for a lot of things that aren't good. Sometimes things that are expensive are worse.
Well, we could try it out.
Yeah, we could. We certainly could, and probably should. But that, so as far as getting into this game goes, it's still a hard sell, I think. As fun and as amazing as it is, I don't necessarily, I mean, it's hard to recommend to people. There's a certain kind of person I would recommend it to. You
have to be able to make your own fun is,
yeah,
the thing.
It's not it
does not give you like much of a scaffold to like to help you find the fun. You have to find the fun.
There's a lot of ice to break on your own. It can be a party game, but not like a Jackbox party. It can be like this is something that other people, you could provide entertainment for other people while you do this. Or if you just, it can be a creative outlet for you, which may be fun and healthy in your own way, especially if you are really passionate about cars. This is for you. I don't even drive, and I loved playing this game. I don't like driving games.
I think like the thing about this game being for someone who likes cars is that what it gives you that something like a Forza or a Gran Turismo won't, because those are games with official licenses, mm-hmm, from auto manufacturers.
Yeah.
Those games cannot really do crashes, and they can't really do damage. They are not built,
true,
in that way, because like, you know, like Ford does not want to have like their car in a game that's going to feature it getting crumpled up and torn into pieces.
Yeah.
This game, because it is small and independent and everything is modded in this way, like it's a lot more attention to detail paid to the ways in which these cars are constructed and the ways in which they break. And that is also very cool to kind of play around with. And just it's enjoyable to watch cars get ruined.
It's enjoyable. It's satisfying in a way that it's both satisfying and very funny. It's never going to be perfect because of the sheer amount of disparate parts colliding and interacting in a physics engine all at once. There are going to be times where certain, you know, polygons are going to stretch infinitely and things are going to clip through other things. But
like, it is
for the most part, the generic abstract expressionalism that comes out of a car flipping completely vertically off of a ramp and headlights first into the ground, becoming what is essentially how do I describe, it's like the insides of a sardine can.
It's genuinely impressive.
The can opens.
It's impressive how these cars come apart.
It's certainly the work of a lot of highly skilled developers that are very in tune with their craft and very good at math.
Well, yes. And this is actually something that I might tie back to this later when we talk about our side quests.
Yeah.
But this game is janky in a way that like that I really enjoy jank, which is like it's the kind of jank where the jank comes from the fact that the ambitions are so high.
Yes.
And when the ambitions are so high, like you outstrip your abilities, and that produces something that can be really entertaining to engage with as you see sort of like everything it tries to bite off and everything that it attempts to accomplish.
The comedy in it is it has to be completely unintentional. When you find it, you're going to try to drive and fail spectacularly. You're going to fall off the ledge off of the Italian cliffside, and your car is going to tumble and fall and impale itself on a pine tree or a cypress tree or whatever tree they have in Italy. I should know. I just went for my Bellagio pilgrimage, but the point isn't to successfully drive, it's to successfully experience that without putting yourself in any danger.
Basically.
And it does a really good job. And I think when you find your fun, there's more to take out of it than just an enjoyable driving experience. And what I personally got out of it is something that it's a new appreciation for, I think, other people that appreciate cars. Like, okay, I kind of get now where that passion comes in. As somebody that doesn't drive and lives in a big city and has feelings about the automotive industry that are not particularly favorable, I now understand the sort of consumer side and the passion of it a little bit more. The sheer amount of detail and the amount of work that goes into making a single car go is staggering. And it wasn't until I saw every single part sort of listed separately that I clicked just how much of humankind's collective intelligence has gone into this engineering project that is the automobile.
Man, maybe on the list at some point we should also take a look at My Summer Car.
What is that?
My Summer Car is a simulation game about being basically like living in Norway and having like a summer car build project in your garage. And it's equal parts you manually assembling the engine to a car in your garage, like every single part, and also like driving around the Norwegian woods and doing like odd jobs in order to make money to buy parts for your sports car that you're rebuilding. It's a very strange game.
Interesting. That's an interesting sort of almost kind of, it's like a different Moonlighter. Cool. But that sums up my impressions of BeamNG.drive. Really like it. Biggest complaint about it is the size and optimization of it. And my PC is not particularly bad.
I guess the only question I have for you is, what would you rate this game out of 10?
Certainly
you can assign a number to this game.
I would assign it
6.8?
bmenji.5. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I guess. No, it feels like it defies that. Like, that's not
appropriate. Tell me to fuck off.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not saying fuck off, but I'm saying, like, that's asking me to rate Ableton Live. Like, it's like a tool. It's like, rate the piano.
You heard it, folks. BMG.drive, NA out of 10.
Not applicable. What? This isn't, maybe that's why it's not released, because they don't want critics reviewing it.
I don't know. I don't know how many critics are reviewing games anymore. It's 2024. Those jobs are thin on the ground.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll take a stab at being a video game critic later this afternoon. This afternoon? What? If you're listening to this in the afternoon, that'll be accurate. But for right now, in this space, that's not accurate, but whatever. We've got...
It's actually early morning. It's not even sunrise
it
yet.
It is 4:30, and we are just on fumes and beautiful caffeinated tea. You would think we'd need something stronger, but we are night bunnies. All right, so why don't we get a quick word from our sponsors, and then we are going to dive into our strategies for newcomers to... Well, I'm going to take that again. Well, why don't we get a quick word from our sponsors in, and then we will be right back with more Storm Buds.
We're going to read some ads.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah?
Do you ever get the feeling that your 2008 time travel puzzle platforming games don't have enough mildly thrilling turn-based RPG action?
Every single day. You know, I replay Braid on like a monthly basis, and every time I'm like, this needs more stats.
Have you ever realized I'm not really feeling enough pull to open my wallet while chasing down the love of your life?
Not regularly, I can say. You had me with the first half, but not at this time.
Well, stick around, because I've got just the game for you.
Oh no, I don't like where this is going.
Introducing Jonathan Blow's Braid Shadow Legends. Born from the love and labor of an auteur game developer and an inexorable need to buy groceries and cover healthcare costs, Jonathan Blow has finally given in to the capitalist machine and collaborated with Plarium Games to deliver this authentic time-traveling RPG experience. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of a game much like it on every single YouTube video released for about a five-year period, but I don't know that I've heard of this one specifically.
Well, that's because it's brand new. I also hear you ask in your brainy little tiny head, but what if this game is too hard? Worry not. If a puzzle is giving you a hard time, just spend $39.95 and you can maybe unlock one silver puzzle piece that will undo your latest turn.
You know, I could use that, because I replay Braid monthly, but I've never beaten it. I get stuck like halfway through.
Or you could spend $45.95 on a chance, 1 in 200 chance, at a gold puzzle piece to move on to the next chapter. And surely this will be enough to buy the princess's love, right?
Well, okay, that sounds expensive. That's right? That's like a Tinder Plus membership.
Right? That's what happened. I didn't actually finish Braid either.
Totally. She falls in love with you and it's happily ever after.
Yeah, I assume the ending is standard fair happy ending.
Basically,
stuff.
Yeah. You catch up to her at the castle, you rescue her, she like is it enthusiastic to come with you?
Mm-hmm. So head on over now to www.com/shadowlegends and sign up for and sign up for Jonathan Blow's Braid Shadow Legends today. It's free to start, but if you use promo code STORMBUDS, you get to unlock a sixth of a silver puzzle piece after 3 weeks of consecutive logins.
That's great. I'm sure that every other podcast you listen to is running the same promo, and you'll have enough for a whole puzzle piece in no time.
And we're back. We've been so blessed with these sponsors lately. So thank you so much.
Yeah, real enthused about that one.
So happy to be supported. And, you know, it's great. We're grateful for our sponsors, but we're also grateful for your guys' support. And you don't have to give us any money for support. Just, you know, keep listening, sharing, and reviewing the podcast as you have done. I've got some really nice comments on our Spotify Q&A. So thank you for those. I read those. They're really nice. Really helps keep us going. And speaking of keeping going, there's a segment that we normally do at the start that I wanted to do kind of after the main meat of the episode, because as I listened back to it, I think, man, if I clicked on an episode about Hollow Knight and then they started talking about Bellatro for the fourth time in a row, I would click off.
I think it's the right call, actually. I think this is a good structure change.
So we're going to talk about, we're gonna keep having the main meat of the episode at the start to just sort of be a little bit more more genuine. Wow. I was like, what's the opposite of disingenuous?
Genuous.
We're going to be a little bit more genuous about our content and keep our quest log segment, the thing we've been up to outside after our little ad break. So, and then we'll get into our usual B segments, game shows, character interviews, things like that. So what's been in your quest log this week?
Boy, talking about jank, I've been playing that Dragon's Dogma 2.
Uh-oh.
Have you been seeing any of this? Have you watched
Red
play this
at
all?
I've seen things about it. I haven't touched it myself. Senior Bud Red has been playing it.
This is another one of those games where like the jank comes from an ambition that is vastly outstripping possibly anyone's capacity to execute. It's context on Dragon's Dogma 2. It is a fantasy action RPG set in kind of like a low fantasy world that reminds me of something, honestly, of like Oblivion, like going back to like earlier,
yes,
Elder Scroll stuff. Lots of like, look, everyone lives in like wooden huts and like, or like possibly stone buildings if they're in a town center, and there's just wilderness and trees everywhere.
Yeah. Quick aside, I love the idea of Oblivion. Unmodded Oblivion, unplayable. But I love the idea of it, so I love the idea of this game.
So, this game, you play a character called the Arisen, which in... Okay, so you know how, like, in RPGs, like, especially action RPGs, maybe you'll have party members, and those party members, like, especially in combat, but also when you're running around, will just say random annoying shit, like, oof, or, I got him, or, I'm knocked down.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite familiar with that in my side quest.
Right, okay. What if, in fact, the fact that that was annoying and repetitive was diegetic? Because your party members were, in fact, beings called pawns, who are sort of like weird homunculus people who just kind of wander around the landscape of this world, where they're like, they pulled from the void, and then they wander around the landscape of this world, like waiting for an Arisen to show up, who they will then follow to save the planet, basically.
So you used an invocation of Eld to call seven adventurers to your side.
I mean, I called a few, but even before I arrived, there were thousands of these fuckers just wandering around being like, ho, are you the Arisen? Guess not. Wandering on to the next town now. I'm tired. Do you have any water? The pawns are so weird. It's just a feature of this world. This world just has a second class of almost people who are self-aware about their lack of personhood. They're just like, guess I'll go off to die now. It's all for you, Arisen. Don't worry about me.
Okay.
And so you recruit these, and the point is that you have like three of them with you at all times, and they're all following you around, and they're all talking nonstop about everything they encounter in the world around them. There's a chest over there. I think I see something. Let me gather those for you. I don't know what's happening here. And it is so... It is so overwhelming and feels a little unpolished, but chaotic, because the thing is that in combat, then all of these little pawns you have with you are just firing off abilities constantly or helping each other out. They're constantly sort of like doing combo abilities with you or dropping healing stuff on the ground, or like the action combat of this game is weird and kind of irregular, but also involves being able to mix and match a lot of abilities from a lot of different classes and in ways to create like new powerful combinations that I haven't fully unlocked yet. And the whole thing just feels pushed a little bit too far beyond the grasp of the game. Mm-hmm. because it feels kind of bad, but that's okay. I actually like that it feels kind of bad, because it's nostalgic in that way of like, oh, this game doesn't fully work functionally.
I don't know if you're having fun playing this game or not.
I think I love this game, but okay. I'm not sure that I'm still finding the fun in it, even as I admire it.
Okay.
And I have one more example of like a good example of the weird kind of level this game is operating at in a way that like not many games have tried to bite off this much in a long time. Every single NPC in this game that you can encounter has a name, and they wander around on like their little route or whatever. And like, I'm talking like you can go into a town and there are dozens and dozens of NPCs just wandering around, and you walk up to them and they'll say things like, it sure has been different since the dragon showed up. And that's their one line. But That NPC's name is Garth. And if you pull up a log, you can see an entry for Garth, like you can with every other random NPC. And you can see his likes and dislikes, which will tell you how his opinion of you will change if you give him different gifts. Why would you want to give Garth a gift? I don't know. I have no idea why every character in this game is tracking your reputation with them on the basis of what you've given them. I don't know why I would do this for most of the characters in here. It's not like it's just the shopkeepers or the major ones. No, it's everybody.
So there's no dating sim?
There might be a dating sim component to it. I haven't unlocked that yet if there is. But it's just... why? Why do all the NPCs have gift-receiving abilities? What does that... certainly no one's going to go around and like max out their reputation with every character in the game. There's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of them. I don't know why this system is in here, and I'm not entirely sure the developers do either, or maybe they're setting up for some mind-blowing third act twist. But this game has a lot of weird shit going on in it, and I'm kind of just enjoying poking it and trying to figure out how it reacts.
Okay. That's a more interesting and nuanced take of Dogma Dragon and Dogs 2 that I've experienced thus far.
The thing I'm really waiting for, because this is a bit that other people who like the first game really rave about, I'm waiting for the combat to get interesting.
Okay.
I think I'm still early enough on that the combat's a little bit rote, but if it's anything like what I've heard about the first game, and I've heard people who played a bunch of this one as well, once the combat like starts unlocking a lot of the different ways that you can mix and match stuff, and a lot of different ways that you can mix up your party in order to tap into different synergies and stuff, I'm kind of waiting to see if when I hit that point, then am I really all in on this game. Or possibly not.
Okay, cool. Well, as for me, typical shit, Balatro. I did finish Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I will save my thoughts on it for a potential solo bud bonus episode or whatever. We're probably not going to cover it for quite some time. We just have a lot on our plate. But I finished it. So I will... I want to... play things that aren't RPGs now. And in order to sate that need, I stumbled upon a game that was kind of that, like a random TikTok recommended to me based on like a random TikToker based on like this game developer's sort of conference jam thing. And it is it's a game called Kevin.
What?
It's a game called Kevin. It's like $5 on Steam.
It's the fucking Peter Molyneux shit. What is this?
No, not even. It is a solo, like what was presented in this TikTok was that there was this game that everyone was really fascinated with because no one really understood what was going on. It was called Kevin. It was written by a guy named Kevin, and then Kevin was not there. So he couldn't explain, he couldn't even field questions about it and be hidden about it. It was just Kevin. And what Kevin is as far as I understand, I'm not sure. As far as I understand, it is the retelling of a person's journey to understanding a completely foreign language with a different alphabet. I don't know. I only played a little bit of it and got kind of the gist of it. And I kind of wanted to stream it because it was like, oh, this would be fun to like work out. But basically what's happening is there's not much of a game to it. It's like a very, very long, it's basically the game is a very, very long PNG that is like black and it's like a blackboard, and then there's just scribbles all over it, and the game gives you, it is on Steam, it's called Kevin.
I need to look at this. Tell me how it's different from like the other Trance of Sinar that you
It's not a game, really, even though it is. It is just the entirety of the game, as far as I can tell, unless I didn't unlock something or whatever, like there's something crazy going on, is just the equivalent is just like it's a very long blackboard, like a PDF, and all you can do is scribble on that PDF. And on that PDF, there's just like these images akin to like hieroglyphs, and you just kind of have to decipher it. It's not like Chance of Sinar where there's like,
what is it? Is that part of the PDF?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay,
it's a really big PDF.
Okay. Shit, I might need to play this.
And maybe we'll do it together. Maybe we'll work through it together. And the audio that I've encountered is just this sort of bit crunched audio of this guy with I think an Asian accent or something, just like working through all the numbers and counting upward. And I haven't hit the limit yet of where he's counting. So it's literally just like I'm working on trying to decipher this code that he's written about him and a woman he's with and how they're moving, I think, to a different country or whatever.
Are you taking physical notes on this?
You are able to scribble on it with your mouse.
Got it. Okay.
To like try and like keep track and stuff. And you're also able to, and I forgot to mention, this is the best part, is that you are able to kind of save your place by hitting, I think, like Alt and 1 through 0. So you can have like 10 different bookmarks. So if you discover something and you write notes, you can like place a bookmark there and come back to it and then kind of quickly tab back to where you are. Because again, this image, this effective PDF file is huge.
I'm so into the look of this. This looks so cool.
This is so interesting. That is, and so I kind of didn't want to like blow through it right away. I kind of wanted to save it for a stream time. But that's been my thing I wanted to bring to the table this week, is Kevin.
The Steam description just says, Kevin wants to show you what his life would be and why.
Like, I love it.
And then
it.
Some, I think, Chinese. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that's where I got the idea that it was an Asian accent coming from, but working like, and there's like in the audio, he's counting up from one and keep going. And like, there's times where he's just like taking, like pausing to like, and it sounds, think about it.
Wait, so
which is really interesting.
He's counting up. Does it loop or are you at like 10,000?
I'm not at like 10. How long? I wasn't playing this game that long, but okay. I was in the couple hundreds and I was like, this hasn't stopped. This is interesting. I wonder. So it is, it's certainly a lightly interactive art piece, if anything. But I wanted to use what platform I had to shout out Kevin.
This looks so cool. Okay, Kevin. Kevin's your quest for the week.
Yes. Okay. We are going to move...
Wait, sorry, one sec. You said the only soundtrack you've gotten is him counting?
That's the only sound I've heard, but there's probably more.
I was going to say, because the soundtrack is available as a free download on Steam. I'm wondering if it's just the counting track.
That'd be so funny. It can't be. It can't be, but that'd be so funny. There must be more to this game that I have yet to discover then. I don't know. I just don't know what else is, like, what is this? But it was fascinating.
And well, for our next segment then, so I don't know if you've noticed, but it's kind of difficult out there to be in the video game commentary business, especially if you want to make money. A lot of layoffs going around. It's real dog-eat-dog world out there. We figured, what if we started pivoting to doing guides?
Yeah.
Because guides seems where everything is at right now. If you just saw, Kotaku went all in on guides last week, and their editor-in-chief resigned in protest, which is certainly a very good sign.
Yeah, so we thought we would try our hand at maybe some like freelance guide work so that we kind of could have this in our sort of guide reel as we go and try and get, you know, support the podcast with money from video games journalists. So we don't have to ask you guys for money.
I mean, how hard could it be, right? You just play the video game and then describe what you did for other people. It can't possibly be a grueling and exploitative industry that barely pays people.
And honestly, if you're good enough, you might not even have to play the video game in order to write a guide for it.
That's true. You could just imagine how the game works and then write down what you imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, half of playing fighting games is just getting mentally prepared to play fighting games.
Do you want to walk us through that process a little bit?
Well, why don't we talk about something that we know and we have demonstrated thorough knowledge of by trying to, you know, practice writing a guide for something like BeamNG.drive.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, very straightforward.
And we could just call this segment something like, I don't know, a guide of sorts?
Yeah, oh yeah, like the Endwalker quest, like the one in the Charlian Forum.
Yeah, yeah, right after the Charlian Forum where they ban you from exploring Labyrinthos further and you have to go to Thavnir instead.
Boy, I love the spontaneous process we're pulling together here.
This is
okay.
Great. Yeah, this is, I feel like we're on the same wavelength, and that's going to be really good for guide writing. Okay, we are going to, and I'm sorry editing me, there's going to be a lot of keyboard noises, because listen, we're brainstorming, we're writing things down, and if you, that audio, that's going to be good audio. It's good, okay? Chill out.
So where are we going to start our BMG?
We're going to start our BMG.guide with, you know, an outline, right? You've been to WikiHow, right? They've got those kind of segments.
With the outlines and the cool pictures.
Do you want to do the pictures?
Are you saying right now?
You have an iPad?
I do. Sure. Am I drawing the... Sure.
Will this stylus work? Or no, you have your own stylus?
I have my own stylus. I always carry my Apple Pencil.
Good.
Okay.
And we'll make this guide available to our lovely Discord friends.
So what's the first section in our...
So to play BeamNG.drive, of course, the first thing you have to do is you have to download BeamNG.drive. And to do that, you've got to make space in your machine. So first off, make space in your computer for BeamNG.drive. So it is a game that has, well, it was over 100 megs or over 100 gigs, right?
Something like that. It was quite large.
Over 100, maybe over 200 gigs of raw data. And that is so many gigs that it might not physically fit in your chassis. So one thing you may have to do is you may have to take the chassis and kind of upgrade it to sort of the size of like one of those Tesla trucks. So make your chassis bigger and bulkier and more, but you know, potentially more dangerous to the consumer because it doesn't absorb shock as much. That would be really good because this game does, it's quite shocking. It has a big impact, I would say.
It certainly does. Every time those cars crash,
So let's see how we're going to write that down. So make space in your computer in and around your computer for BeamNG.drive. If the installation for BeamNG.drive is too big, try upgrading the size of your chassis to be able to ferry a family of four to soccer practice. That way, your computer can handle the stress of the game's enormous installation and disk requirements. That sounds good and professional?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. What's another kind of like bit about like making, you know, preparing your machine for BeamNG? Like what kinds of things would you have to remove from a computer from the inside? So we got the outside part, right? But for the inside part, make sure you get rid of meaningless trite applications that you don't need anymore.
Like your graphics card.
Your graphics drivers. Baldur's Gate 3 in its entirety. I mean, it's 2024. Nobody cares about that game anymore. And if possible, perhaps, maybe, downgrade to Linux. I think that would really help. Upgrade to Linux. Right.
Upgrade
if you're on Linux, you do think that you're better. So that we want to make sure that our article is in line with what people think about themselves when they have Linux installed.
I love Ubuntu.
Okay. I think that's good for the kind of prep work for this.
Sure.
Great. That's a fantastic drawing. Alex has drawn a cube and it's got some great children that are... Oh, no, that's like the back of the seats. They're on bus seats, and you've pulled out... It's like a big
pull out the graphics
chassis
card to make room for them.
Yes, so perfect. That's like a really good illustration. You've done a fantastic job. Okay, so now that your machine is ready for installation, you know, after installing BeamNG.drive, we assume you know how to do that. You just go to the BeamNG.drive store. You get a couple of hammers, couple of nails. You throw them at the machine, and then the BeamNG drive music will start playing, and the police will come, and they'll fix it. They'll do it for you, right? That's like the typical
thing.
That's
what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't need to include that in the guide.
You sure?
Yeah. No. Everyone knows how to do that. So what instead is going to happen is once you boot up BeamNG.drive, you know, select, launch. Don't worry about the other launchers yet. Make sure your seat belt is on. and enjoy the ride. Because what's going to happen is that, you know, once you select launch in the launcher, and make, if you've upgraded your chassis properly, your computer is going to start moving on its own, and it is going to start chasing everyone.
Yeah, all around your living space.
All around your living space.
The energy of BMG Dead Drive is just going to cause the thing to rattle nonstop.
Yeah. Your machine's AI is going to want to explore your its new space. Make sure your furniture is all bolted down and your pets are safely enclosed in their respective enrichment enrichment pens. So yeah, if you've got like a horse, make sure that that thing is in its 2 foot by 2 foot pen with like a little carrot so that it's fine and it doesn't get scared by the BeamNG machine that is going to kind of explore its new space, right? It takes time for the kind of the BeamNG Bluetooth to sort of sync up to the cloud. So what's gonna, like, you're gonna be in there, your family of four is gonna be, you know, in there and safe because you've upgraded, right? And your shock You fastened your seatbelt for sure. That way if it kind of crashes into your kitchen island, you don't lose both your eyes.
Only one.
Yeah, only one probably. Make sure your knives are also. Oh yeah, make sure your knives are also safely hidden and locked in their display case. BeamNG is really fond of knives, and will start to collect them for nefarious purposes if left unchecked. Right. So make sure in your drawing, I think including the BeamNG machine with knives, and then like a big cancel over it, you know, like, no, make sure that doesn't happen.
Yes. Okay. So here's a depiction of you will only lose one eye.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We don't, that's not necessarily that's more,
I think it's an important point of clarification.
Okay. I'll include it.
So now we want to, but we want to make sure that we demonstrate that the BeamNG machine should not have a knife. Got it. Okay.
Collisions. So after the launch, right, what do? You get mods. Okay. When modding your BeamNG machine, be sure to download your mods from a reputable back alley doctor. Back alley mechanic, right? It's not a car. So what am I saying? Car doctor?
Doctor, you know, car doctors. Yeah.
It's a mechanic. It's a mechanic, it's a modder, it's what have you, right? BeamNG,
Do not let it have a knife.
Do not let it have a knife. Yeah, good. Yeah, and that's really beautiful. BeamNG.drive official has a bunch of bureaucratic crap. I almost spelled that word right. Crap that prevents any of the official mods from being any fun. When looking for the rocket thrusters and the shiny chrome that may or may not be toxic to small animals, shiny chrome paint that may or may not be toxic to small animals, you're going to want to find a trusted mod dealer in a Patreon community near you. Near you of your choosing.
No, probably near you, because you want to like...
Of your choosing near you. Be sure to shop local. Yeah, you know what? You're right. Be sure to shop local. Local and support... Yeah, be sure to support local modders to keep your community thriving.
Mm-hmm. You can see here I have drawn the process by which you will purchase BNG.drive mods from your local dealer.
Could you draw the dealer?
No.
Why not?
Mike, on the pace that we're operating at here, do you have any idea how long it takes me to draw a human figure?
A stick figure. Not very long.
Okay, here. We're gonna put the dealer in here, too.
Have you seen the WikiHow art? It's not the best.
Expand canvas size.
For the next, I think, final step, at least the step that we're talking about, when you're maybe find a safer space. Ah, okay. If your home is not big enough to support your ever... growing BMNG machine.
They're happy?
Hell yes. Take it to this guy. He drew a stick figure with sunglasses, and it's all I wanted. take them, give the BMNG machine the agency it deserves. Take them to a fun BMNG park to socialize with other BMMG machines. Your machines will want to show off their cool new mods and have their own fun little knife fights. What better way to support your machines than by socializing them?
I thought they weren't supposed to have knives. Wait, what?
We're giving a safe space for the knife fights that they're going to inevitably get. Note, we did fasten our knives, but they likely broke into... They are more than likely going to break into your... neighbors' kitchens and take theirs. Sucks to be them. Order to power your BMNG.drive machine off. You're going to want to first, you know, because one, it's hard to quit playing BMNG.drive.
It's difficult, yes. The game actively resists you.
The game actively resists you. Every time you try and get into the menus sort of move on you. And they do also threaten to get into your bank account and take all that sort of stuff away from you if you try to depower it. So you are going to need to kind of consult with a security agency who can provide you with backup keys to all your smart devices and personal accounts.
What am I illustrating here?
As well as, it's a great question, connect yourself with the FBI so that they can provide you with an alternative identity so that you are a lot less likely to die in your sleep from a sudden knife attack. Okay? I think that's really important that we make sure that, you know, people are able and willing to protect themselves from their now sentient BMNG.drive machines that have taken their families and homes and identities hostage. That they are at least, you know, aware of this beforehand and can get themselves
the protection they need. Yeah. Of course. Yes, yeah. Naturally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So living incognito is an inevitability if you do decide to play BMNG.drive. That is likely. It's kind of a pipeline to BMNG.drive to, you know, BMNG. Try to stay alive. The
long anticipated sequel, of course.
The point here is that, yeah, we just want to make sure if we're drawing something for somebody, to do this, we probably want to make sure that like we sort of have an obscured face of some kind, some false documents.
I was showing that you don't want to have the BMG.drive attempt to knife you in your sleep.
Yeah, that's bad. That's great. That's great. So he's drawn a BMG.drive chassis with a knife taped to it and a person sleeping in a bed and an X. That looks like multiply. Maybe those like fused together. I think you want like a cancel, like a no over it.
You're right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Draw like a circle around it.
No. Fantastic.
There you go. That's the illustration. Boy, I hope
these will all be in the Discord. You can join with the link pop in the description of the episode.
I hope people look at these. I'm not sure how well this segment works if people aren't aware that I am drawing all this in real time.
Remember, I'm going to edit a lot of this to make it flow better.
Then yes, people should go check all of these out because I think together they form a pretty comprehensive WikiHow guide.
Yeah, no, this was a lot of fun and it helped me sort of, you know, sometimes when you write something, it helps you understand what you're writing about.
How much do they really pay for this? I bet if we pitch this to like Polygon, we'll probably get what, like $2,000-$3,000?
Oh. Yeah, no.
For a guide this
great.
Comprehensive? Yeah.
You're right. I shouldn't sell myself short. $2,000-$3,000.
Let's know our worth. Yeah. I mean, look, they're going to get like tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of hits off of this.
Yeah. So to recap, just the big bullet points. Make space in and around your computer for BeamNG.drive. Select launch and make sure your seatbelt is on and enjoy the ride. When modding your BeamNG machine, be sure to download your mods from a reputable back alley mechanic. If your home is not big enough to support your growing BeamNG machine, take them to a fun park to socialize with other BeamNG machines. And consult with a security agency, maybe the FBI, so that they can provide you with an alternative identity in the event that you try to ever power your BeamNG.drive machine off. I think that's a pretty comprehensive guide to playing BeamNG.drive.
Agreed.
And that's going to do it for this week's episode of StormBuds. Our newfound adventure of BeamNG.drive is really fun, but we have some housekeeping to take care of because I love that. We've got an additional drawing where there's a hammer going through a monitor and then some police sirens out the window. I believe, because yes. He's written the onomatopoeia wee-woo.
I wrote it twice.
You wrote it twice.
Housekeeping.
We are approaching, we just finished this month. This next month, we're months going for the foreseeable future. We are going to stick to themes. We tried a month with a theme, a loose theme, but a theme nonetheless. We tried one without one. And we really liked the theme a little bit more, just for guidance for episodes. So we're going to keep doing that. And this next month theme.
We're getting topical.
We are getting topical, I guess. Not really. Kind of.
There's an Amazon show coming out.
There's a topic. It's a topic. But we are going to, all four of the episodes in April are going to cover, and to some extent, the Fallout franchise. And our yes. big game of the month that we're going to be playing through will, in fact, be Fallout 4. Senior Bud Zaff did guess this. He guessed it. He
wasn't
was right.
That hard.
Yes, so we are going to, this was on our list for March, and we decided it'd be a good time to do it because the Amazon Prime series is coming out as well, so we'll do another episode of that. As I mentioned, we kind of got the whole month planned out, and next month we are going to dip in our little toesy toes into an old classic, the best Bethesda game ever, Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah. Exactly.
The Obsidian Entertainment classic, Fallout New Vegas. We're going to dip our toes into it. We're not going to probably complete it, but like I would really like to revisit it.
Yeah, let's just spend some time in that world.
Yeah, so we will see you then. If you want to play along with us, you can. You can tell us all about what you're doing in our Discord. Link in the description to all our socials there, including our Discord. We've got some lovely people in there. There will also be more streams of maybe Fallout, maybe BeamNG.drive, maybe probably more Bellatro. Every so often, I'll just toss the stream. Like, it's hard to not stream that game. It's just so hypnotic and fun. For the next month, we are going to be covering Fallout games. Really excited. Hope to continue discussing those with you in our Discord. And until New Vegas time, baby, we've been the Storm Buds, right? It's ending time.
Yeah, we've been the Storm Buds.
Storm Buds. We've been the Storm Buds. Ha, baby.
Good night.
Get out. levels are okay. Yeah, that looks right. How about you? I know we heard
testing.
Oh yeah, you're great.
Sounds all right. Yeah, I'm great. Okay. Affirmation of the week.
Okay. Okay. Wow, the week.
It's not been a great week.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It hasn't been bad. I've just been very stressed about work.
Okay.